the queen, the sorceress. Take a breath, you're sure to miss. Lord of the Rings and Cox-Hating Kiss. I'm the one who rules the space. Pray to God was given grace. Can't be replaced. Why? My coochie laced. I'm the one who made her. It's not the
Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf. It's just me again. And I still sometimes get self-conscious about it. But you know what? This path is about doing whatever the fuck you want to do. And it's also interesting that there are a lot of men and some women out there who have podcasts just them. And yet I wonder if they're conscious of feeling self-conscious around, do I have the right to share my beliefs or something? And the answer is, of course, to everyone. And everyone has the right to explore the workings of their soul and to follow their highest excitement and discover what makes them happy. We live in a collective filled with judgment, self-judgment, judgment, and hate, but there's also a lot of love. And the amazing thing, as I've continued to as fearlessly as possible follow my dream, it's been incredible who I have been vibrating with, including all of you listening, right? Because we're all energy. And the fact that so many of you beautiful people tune in about once a week to hear my thoughts on what's going on in the collective, news stories, weather reports. No, it's just beautiful to see who we're all drawn to as we continue to do self-exploration and healing work. I mean, that's really all there is. That's what I've discovered in my life, where I feel that I've died and resurrected many, many times. Well, this path is about change and evolution and growth. You know, it's not as simple as we think it might be as kids, because we get guarded and sheltered, even though we're seeing the bullshit. I think that's the scariest part when you're a kid, is when you know something's off or wrong, but then the adults are trying to play it off like everything's fine. I try my best with Shane to not blow smoke up his ass, I'll say, which is a really gross saying when it involves my son, actually. I'll change that statement. I couldn't even feel comfortable saying it like that. But you know what I mean? I've tried since he was very young to not lie. Even when it came to stuff like Santa Claus, he did believe. I let his dad do the whole Christmas Santa Claus thing, but I was very careful to be like, I don't know. Is he real? Is he not? And to be honest, though, if we're going to get into good old Saint Nick, that energy system is real in a sense. I don't know if there's an actual Santa Claus living in the North Pole, but honestly, if I did find that out, I wouldn't even be like, I'd be like, all right. I feel like at this point, with all the conspiracy theories around, where a lot of them are true, some are not, but I think it's become obvious to many of us that reality is not exactly what we thought it was when we were kids. Although, you know what? I think kids do see reality and they do see the magic, and then they're conditioned. We're conditioned at a certain point. I think it kicks in and sometimes around 7 or 8 in the US, where you have to block off the magic or you'll seem insane. So, you know, as we come more into reality, the reality is, who the fuck knows? There could be a Santa or whatever. I talk to fairies. I see fairies. I've been into unicorns for a long ass time, and now they're fucking popular as hell. I had started a business, I guess it was about 5 years ago, with Tim, called the Magical Unicorn Rainbow Healers. And at that point, unicorns were not that popular. And I'm not saying I just myself made them popular, but I'm not saying that I didn't either. Okay. Oh, and I watched Mean Girls recently, again, with Shane on HBO. And it just made me love the Valley Girl within me. Because, like, you feel, I definitely have a ton of Valley Girl in me. Not a surprise to my listeners. I have that accent, but I also have other accents that come through, because we as humans, I believe, are a conglomeration of beings. That's why I love Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do, video because she's really playing with the multiple personalities that live within us, the conglomeration of beings or threads that make up a human, because we have these different aspects and facets to ourselves. And some of them are lighter, some of them are darker, whatever that frequency even means. Think of a battery with the positive and the negative. But it's you gotta hold opposing forces and accept the darker places and the positive places. And then something opens up. It's called the third thing, but it's this spaciousness that includes everything plus more, in a sense. It's very hard to describe this quality, but this thing opens up. And the yin yang symbol can also be put into this category. It is. It's non-duality. It's really important to try to see all sides or all roles, all perspectives in a situation. And I remember, I think this was like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I went to the all school meeting for my school, and they did a sociodrama where it's hard to explain for those of you who don't know, but they had like five or six of us come up in front of the school. They chose me as one of them because I'm not scared of acting and stuff like that. Because it's kind of improv-y. So it was people who would not be scared, you know, who are used to either performing or they're not scared of eyesight on them. And I clearly am not. So they gave me the role of a police officer, and in the situation with a terrorist there. And in the situation that played out, I ended up shooting the terrorist, and he still exploded the whole fucking place and people died. It was honestly one of the most traumatic situations I've been in, because I was playing the cop trying to be the quote unquote good guy and save everyone from the terrorist with explosives. And I shot him, and then he blew the whole thing up. And even though he said later he was planning on blowing it up anyway, I honestly felt the weight. Like, I wanted to like bleed and die out on the ground. Like, that's what my character did, what I chose to do. I literally saw people in my school like shaking their head no at me. Like, they were like really triggered. So, and I was pretty new to the school at that point. So I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is happening? But it was such a healing, awakening experience to see that this role I had played trying to enter it as the good guy and then ended up being the bad guy, I got to experience what that's like. And just, it's so much more complicated because we all have monsters within. This is kind of called shadow work for those of you who are deeper into the spiritual journey, who are trying to explore the shadow parts of themselves. And for those of you who want to, contact me for healing. I'll give info at the end. But it's very important because we all are quote unquote monsters. Think about how, for those of you who eat meat, chickens or beef or cows would feel about the human race and what we do to them. We all have this monster within. When you actually include it with as much compassion and awareness and potentially love if you can, something starts to change. And it's actually freedom, because when you try to block off the monster's parts because of your shame, then a big part of us is exiled and disconnected. And then you can't even see the split there. We are all capable of monstrous things. Just to be alive, there had to be the original contraction from God. And in that contraction, that sucking in created imperfection. We'll call it imperfection, but it's really just to create concave matter or space, a vacuum. You know, it's life and death. Both are contained within the thing. And I feel like I've lived through consciously many of my deaths. And look, I just watched Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do video again. Obviously, it's been out for a while. I think it has like a billion views. She's amazing. But the point is that, I forget why I was just claiming your inner monster, I think. I think she does a really good job of channeling really truthful places. She's a real artist. And I think it's a shame what's going on with the Scooter Braun situation. For those of you who don't know, I believe it was Big Machine Label Group, Soul, something. He was her manager or something, and he was bullying her. He was being a fucking asshole. But let me tell you something. A lot of these bullies get away with it. Most bullies are still getting away with their shit because we live in a polite society where you're not supposed to call fuckery out. Fuckery and fakery. So I'm going to call this what? Fuckery, fakery, and freedom, or uncaged. I kind of wanted to call this one uncaged because Taylor is not apologizing for who she is. And so Scooter Braun, he was her manager or something. I don't know all the details, but he basically just now bought all the masters to her, to the Big Machine Label Group music, which the biggest person signed to that is Taylor. Taylor made that group what it is. And she had asked to purchase the masters from them. They didn't, and instead sold it to someone who was a known quote unquote enemy of Taylor. Now I say quote unquote because we're talking about different perspectives. Scooter's perspective will be important, and as this all surfaces, obviously. However, from looking into the situation myself, and also knowing about sexism and misogyny in the workplace, which is real, even though people want to still somehow deny that, if Taylor already felt uncomfortable with him, which she has, him and Justin Bieber and some others have been making a couple, one a recent post, another post a while ago. Justin Bieber made posts because he's good friends with Scooter, or maybe Scooter's even his manager, I don't know. But really coming at Taylor, and even in the recent one by Bieber, he's hiding it and saying, I'm sorry. That's what I hate too. People can be really good at giving apologies that are so not apologies. It's about the quality, and you read it and it's just, it was bullying. And then of course his sham fake ass wife, Hailey Bieber, was like, gentlemen. And I'm like, this is the problem when you're married to or dating someone that's not your match. They will blow smoke up your ass. Because, no offense, Hailey Baldwin just loves being Hailey Bieber. If you watch some of their public videos, it's so awkward. It's so forced. She's just like, baby, baby. Oh, my God. That's so awkward. Oh, my God. Like, she just gets in this, like, and... So it's no wonder that no one's checking Scooter Braun and that everyone allowed him to even make that purchase. You don't go and purchase someone's masters who you're already having a fraught relationship to. Then it becomes about ownership, power, and control. Taylor has made it clear she did not want ties to him. More than clear. So for him to go buy the masters to not just her music, but the other artist and Big Machine Label Group. Yeah, but she's one of the main ones, and she had already asked them to purchase her own masters. So it was a really shitty move of both the label and of Scooter Braun. And I believe steeped in the patriarchy still. So, and then you got some fucking dumbass chicks, no offense, that are too scared to actually stand up for what's right and instead just are more concerned being married to Justin Bieber. Listen, Justin's great, but his twin flame, Selena. And you know why he's not with her? Because she would check his ass. Okay? He cheated on her, which Taylor's response to all this has been amazing. She did an incredible Tumblr post. And then some of her incredible badass female friends went and really had her back, including Selena, first of all, is amazing. But Taylor, she did a post back to Justin or something calling him out for cheating on Selena. And it's like, look, even when it comes to cheating, there are two roles. We all play a role in it. Okay. Obviously, the cheater becomes, quote unquote, the bad person. I'm not saying Justin is bad for having cheated because those energy systems have to match. So even if Selena didn't physically sexually cheat, she was probably pulling some shit with her girlfriends. That's what a lot of girls do, myself included. I've had to learn from experience where we overly bond and mesh and merge with a girlfriend. And even though we're not fucking them, we're still energetically in that same thing. So I'm not even trying to blame Justin for cheating, but my point is when something like that occurs, a cheating trauma, and you're both very much in love, when either one tries to run away and bury the other, whether it's, you know, maybe Selena did it with her girlfriends, Justin clearly did it with Haley in my eyes. So it's like that shit doesn't work out. And look, Justin's sleeping in a fucking oxygen chamber every night. Maybe not every night, but like people are not paying attention to the mind, body, spirit connection enough because it's very hard, but it actually removes victimhood. And I'm not saying that people aren't born into this world with certain physical limitations or genetic limitations, or, you know, we all have certain limitations. I was given a lot of limitations from my traumatic childhood, you know, whether it's a horrific family you're born into, that's, you know, where there's abuse taking place, which a lot of homes, there's tons of abuse taking place, or a physical or emotional or mental disability. I'm not saying those don't exist. But when you ignore intense physical symptoms, they just get worse. And I have seen this with my clients and just looking at what's going on in the world, at so many people in total denial of their spiritual, emotional, and physical bodies. And, you know, for me, I have not had a perfect at all physically health-filled journey. I've already shared that a year and a half ago, my Lyme resurfaced, including it was mixed with a little bit of strep throat that hadn't been picked up. And I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. That shit was real. But guess what? I also wasn't making important changes in my lifestyle. And it forced me to do that, you know? So a lot of people can disagree with me here. That's fine. But it's the mind-body-spirit connection. It also happened when I kept getting headaches. I had to really, you know, at first I jumped to conclusions or to assumptions for what they were. And then I sat with it. And a lot of times I was getting headaches from not including a certain part of myself. It was like banging on the door. My inner bitch, my inner monster, my inner obsessive one. All right, guess what? We all have obsessive qualities within. And we're all fucking mushes wanting deep, deep love and connection and intimacy. We all want to be seen. We all want to feel special. We don't want to be isolated anymore. And I'll tell you, some of you in your sham relationships, no offenses, that shit doesn't feel connected. I've been in those. You feel even lonelier because you're like, I'm supposed to have a boyfriend or a partner or a husband or whatever. And you still feel unmet. I've been there. And that's why I had to take, I guess now, 3 to 4 years of singledom and really get to know myself. That doesn't mean I haven't had romantic feelings for a particular person. But I had to really learn who I am because I know I can feel this collective. The patriarchy is crumbling, but there are still so many incredible, brilliant women who are willing to throw away real parts of their personality just so they don't get rejected by the man they're with. And I'm not saying men don't do this too. I've seen a lot of men feeling so guilty for their monster parts and their explosions. And look, when you're not with the right match, and you don't have the tools to sit in the space and, you know, it's tools mixed with being with your, I believe, twin flame. Otherwise, you're going to explode and you're going to get physical symptoms. And some people, I was about to get into something and I'm not going to because I'm trying to work on my boundaries, which is why an accent just came out. I just feel like it's time we get more real. I said this last week too about the glass menageries needing to crumble. Like, I have zero energy for masks. My own. Your own always comes first. When you're looking out and you're getting mad at everyone else's masks, guess what? It's because you are still hidden, even if you can't see it. And that's why I'm so fucking lucky. I'm taking a course with like 4 of my closest friends. And it's what I'm talking about, getting to see different perspectives. When you can really also trust people, and that's what's healing for me personally, is being able to trust. And the people I'm talking about are allowing me this really sacred, safe space to, when my shit comes up, it's not as scary when you actually trust the people and their intent. And a lot of people are in relationships where they don't, on the truest level, trust the intent, because people rush into stuff. You know, I think you got to take months to years to really get to know people before you can really feel into it. That doesn't mean true love doesn't exist, but it's just nice to sniff people out for a bit. When the pet psychic Libby was here, that's what she said Jada was saying in terms of twin flames. Take time to sniff people out. It's true. We're all in a rush to connect, to not feel alone. But you know what? When the facades and the masks fully drop and shatter, suddenly you're not alone, because you actually get to say what you think and be who you are. And there's no right or wrong in the way we think there is. So no matter who is listening, you're not the quote unquote bad guy or good guy. It's so much more complicated. You include both. We're all good guys and we're all bad guys. It depends on who you're talking to. Take a breakup, for example. Whenever there's a breakup, people pick sides because we still live in a dualistic society. I'll tell you what, my group of homies that I'm talking about, what I love the most about them is their hearts and intent to actually hold non-duality, because they never pick sides in my latest breakup, which I love. That takes balls. Now, when it comes to my failed marriage, I'm still cool there with people taking my side. But not real. I mean, I mean that, but at the same time, I don't, because my son, you know, I've raised him as best I can. And I think it's going on in the other household, although I don't know, to be non-dual. Because I grew up in a household where both sides tore each other down. They did. And I did not want to repeat that for my son. So no matter what I felt, I made sure that Shane was given the space to come up with his own opinions and decisions and who he loves and who he trusts. And it's been beautiful to see what that turned into. And what it turned into is just so many people loving Shane and supporting Shane and being there for him. You know, and it's about me and it's not about me. People were able, on both my side and my ex-husband's side, to freely love, because, you know, I just think non-duality is the way, in my opinion. And it's always more complicated than we think it is, because our role and our perspective is just one piece in a huge rotating machine, organic, evolving, beautiful machine filled with tons of replenishing life source. Makes me think of the flower of life, because that's a type of energy system. So the flower of life is an incredible energy system. You all need to look up sacred geometry. And then the tree of life, the Kabbalistic tree of life, is within it. So you can put in tree of life, flower of life, and just look at these beautiful images, and they will actually do something to you, to your frequency. It helps to clean it, to replenish it. So for any of you who just literally want to stare, oh, and I've shared this before. If you type in Arcturian, Arcturian, Arcturian sacred geometry, those also have insane vibrations to them, and they're, in a sense, portals. So any of y'all wanting to give your soul a shot of yes, please, look up Arcturian sacred geometry and look up flower of life and or tree of life, Kabbalistic tree of life, because those have incredible frequencies to them as well. Also, thank you. Even though I never update my Patreon, the money that all of you donate, it's not a ton, but it means something to me. I don't get paid for these podcasts, and yet it's a pleasure most of the time to do them because of my connection to you listening and taking this in, and also wanting to help create a better earth and not falling into that thought system of, oh, we can't make a difference. This is just what it is. You know, you gotta work your shitty 9 to 5 and stay in that relationship you're not really into because .. all those fears and delusions that keep you stuck. You know, It's been a pleasure, even though I don't get paid for it in a sense, to connect with all of you and know that we can build a new world and that we can follow our dreams and be happy, and healing is real. Because I started this podcast years ago with my then co-host, Joe Santagato, and it was a beautiful thing to get to do with him because I felt like we came from two different walks of life. So it was, you know, a lot of the stuff that I was saying, or when Tim Rothschild came on and talked about spiritual journeys, the shroom stuff. I mean, honestly, if you're going to go back, and I love sometimes going back and listening to my old episodes, please listen to the ones from the almost very, very beginning where Tim was on. Because what I think is so beautiful is that it was really a collaboration of worlds. And Joe was kind of blown away, and like, and yet he was open-minded to it. And I really, I've said this before, but I am so grateful that I got to meet Tim when I did on my spiritual journey, because at the time, I had at that time I knew I wasn't nuts, but let's see, I had gotten into this crazy car accident with my son. I was already semi-awakening and on the awakening thing, but this car accident where my son and I could have totally died, and miraculously was saved. It was unreal. And after the accident, Shane said to me, "Angels are here. They're with us." And I felt it. But after that, I started seeing this crazy purple energy following me. I started communicating with aliens, and I was like, what the fuck's going on? Like, it was a sudden awakening that took me to many great websites, and it shook my whole world up. But until I really met Tim, I hadn't met anyone who was as really, how do I say it, obsessed with the journey as I was at that time. I just hadn't. And it was so beautiful to have the support to go deeper and deeper within without, look, I still had the shame and am I crazy? Oh my gosh, I'm talking to fairies now or whatever. It was just nice. And then of course, through him and just through the whole spiritual community in general, it's been amazing having the sacred space to open up to these different gifts and abilities and to just connect to people who really, like I said before, want to help save Gaia, Mother Earth. Because once again, if we don't have a planet to live on, then none of this fucking matters. And the whole thing about the twin flame journey as well, it's about ascending to your true spiritual purposes and missions. When you awaken for real on the twin flame journey, it's activating, it's a kundalini awakening, chakra awakening, aligning, coming into relationship. It's the divine relationship, the dance between Abba, Ima, the mother and the father, the sun and the moon. And when that awakens to, when you awaken to your true purpose, it means creating a new earth in a sense. It's about a cleaning system in a sense. It's light filled. But includes the shadow sides, thank God. Light and dark, you know? It keeps the whole fucking battery moving, in a sense. And when I say battery, some of you might have fear. You know, the Matrix movie was great, but very fear-filled, you know? So a lot of us still have fear when it comes to awakening. The cool thing about awakening on this path is as you include and allow space to look at your fears, they alchemize into something else. So as I hit my hand on my couch, I don't know what that means. Okay, let's see what I've written down. So I talked about the Scooter Braun shit. I really thought Justin Bieber's post was bullying, and I really didn't appreciate when Haley called it a gentleman, because that allows that behavior to continue. And that's not what his post to me was, unacceptable. And Scooter Braun buying Taylor Swift's masters, you do not go and do that to someone who has made it clear that they want space from you. then that is bullying and it's rape energy because you're forcing yourself into a situation. It's not cool. So I'm not saying Scooter can't apologize, but honestly, he should like sign the rights over to Taylor and let her pay for them. Like, it's okay, like, but a fair price. That's what I think needs to happen. And that would give me also more faith in this whole patriarchy that needs to crumble. Also, let's talk about Kamala Harris. She fucking killed in the Democratic debates. Fucking slayed. I kind of knew about her before, but after that, she seemed like, wow. She kind of reminds me of a girl Obama, to be honest. Just the way, even her mannerisms and the way she uses her hands and talks, and just her ability to relay information that's grounded and calm, but with fire. That's what really, I think, reminds me is she's shining. As you all know, I wanted Michelle to run. She decided not to. And I'm very grateful that a woman and a woman of color is shining here, because it is about time we have a female president, and it's about time we have a black female president, in my opinion. Obviously, I want the best candidate. That's not why I'm right now going with Kamala. It's because she just feels like she could clean the shit up, and she speaks her truth and she cares. So I am really hoping she wins this. And right now she has my full support. So does Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's just slaying out there. Like, she don't give a fuck. She's amazing. I love her. I hope I get to meet her one day, because she's got her fucking samurai sword and she ain't taking no prisoners. She's just like, what'd you say, bitch? Boom. She's got the Republican Party up in arms. Don't feel bad about that. Okay, let's talk about The Hills, New Beginnings. I saw the second episode and I just fucking love it. I love it. Sorry for those of you who don't watch, but there's a whole love thing going on with the character Justin Bobby and Audrina Patridge, and it's been going on for years. Like, this was years ago that they were like dating, and then like she literally went off, got married, had a kid with someone else. He's been like, they're coming back together, and it's almost the same. Like, first of all, the love is there. Okay, they're a fire couple, but it's been crazy to watch Justin Bobby try to make her jealous with like Stephanie Pratt. I'm sorry, I'm still not feeling Stephanie. She's coming off as really fake to me. I would meet her, I'd be nice to her, whatever, whatever, but there's a lot of hiddenness that I feel like I see there, and I'm like, yo, Justin, Audrina's a dime. She's sweet, she's beautiful, she's still there for him. Like, he used to fucking ghost on her constantly, and she just loves him, but she doesn't want to play those games, and it's just wild watching him play that shit like 10 years later. She's like, yo, we've already done this, you know? But I hope he wakes up, because I would love for them to officially start dating again. It's clear that they're each other's one. Like, it's like, what, 10 years later, and they were like right in the same place. He's beautiful. He's gorgeous. And so is she. I think they have beautiful souls, and they're also just beautiful humans. So I really hope that happens. And of course, Spencer and Heidi were being their amazing selves, basically. Spencer and his sister, Stephanie, who I was just talking about, they got into a fight at a club. It's honestly, I think it's so entertaining. I won't talk about it too much, but definitely recommend it. Okay. Oh, and rapper Lil Nas X. I think that's how you say it. I don't know if I've ever actually said his name out loud now that I say it. But he came out as gay. And I just want to say, good for you. Love and support you. I think he's an incredible musician. Huge fan of Old Town Road. And the huge fan of the remix by Connor Maynard and JoJo. You guys might not have heard of JoJo for a while, but she is incredible. She slays. So, congrats to Lil Nas X. I'm happy you are being free to be you, which goes to, I think I'm going to call this Uncaged. First of all, I don't think birds should be in cages. I'll keep repeating that till the day I die. But we all want to be uncaged. We just want to be free. Uncaged can sound scary, but it's really just about freedom. And yesterday was the 4th of July. So happy independence to all of you. I hope you all continue to do your own healing work and to uncage yourselves. Oh, you know what I saw that was beautiful? I saw this video, I think it was on Twitter, of a girl who couldn't swim but wanted to jump off a rock into the water because all of her friends were. So she had like four of her guy friends waiting in the water and she jumped and they immediately like caught her. It was just so beautiful because no one made fun of her for the fact she couldn't swim. No one bullied her. They supported her to do it and she jumped and they caught her. And I was like, that is so cute. And it reminded me of the friend group I was talking about. I feel like I'm being caught. I felt like that girl where I'm like, sometimes I can't swim or something. I can swim, but you know what I mean? Like there are things that, whether it's swimming or whatever, things that we can't do on our own. And it's okay to say, I need your help. I need your support. So the video reminded me of what's going on in my life. And I just hope as we all heal that we vibrate with people that make us feel like we can jump even when we can't swim and that we'll be caught or saved. It's okay to need people and to open up. Those of us with trauma and trust issues, it can be a little rocky at times and get a little scary, but that's why it's important to really feel out the people you want to get close to. You know, I have made mistakes in my past of opening up too quickly to people that I could not actually trust. And I've tried to be classy and not get into it on my podcast. You know, that would be shitty, I think, if I suddenly started talking about people in that way. So all I'll say is you have to be careful and really sniff out even friendships. And the people I'm talking about, I've known them all for a while. These things have built over time. And I think when you go slow and slow the whole thing down, which I'm very much learning and learning in this course, man, it changes everything. You can feel differently. So that's been amazing. And I think a lot of us have a fear of not being seen or heard. And this healing work will help with that. Because the more you heal your own dissociations and splits, the more you can actually bring in more of who you are, allowing yourself. When you can see more of yourself can be seen. But a lot of us feel like the real us are pieces of shit or something. We were taught to hate ourselves and to have shame. And it's kind of like relearning to love yourself, I think, is the healing journey. Compassion and self-love and learning to love yourself even in the numb places or the dissociated places. We're all maniacs. I've talked about this before. One of my murals says we're all mad here from the Alice in Wonderland book. I mean, we are. It's okay. You got to include your inner monster, which brings me to Stranger Things. I did watch the third season already. I'm a big fan of Stranger Things. I really loved it. And I will tell you what I love without giving any spoilers away. I promise. Unless you've watched zero Stranger Things, then unfortunately, but I'm not going to give away any secrets from the new season. I first of all just love their group dynamic, for real. That's one of the main things I'm just loving, is seeing groups really bond and come together. So I really, really love their group dynamic and their friendship on screen and off screen. First of all, now this is going to sound weird because they're still technically kids, but Millie Bobby Brown, who plays 11, and Noah Schnapp, who plays Will Byers. I believe that they're twin flames, actually. They're best friends in real life. But when I see videos of the two of them, I mean, it's the love for each other. And I'm not even talking sexually, obviously, although they are hitting that point because I think they're both 15. But they just, it's beautiful to watch their connection. But then they have that whole group of friends. I love the show and I love the actual friendship in real life. And I think the show okay, so for those of you, I am going to ruin stuff not from season three, but from season, I guess, one. So it's based somewhat on Dungeons and Dragons. And there's a mind flayer, which is like this bad guy, octopus monstery thing. And then you've got like demogorgons and demodogs. And they're these like monstrous creatures, okay? But I think that these monsters, the mind flayer and the demogorgons, I think they're representing parts of ourselves we don't want to look at. We hate seeing ourselves as monsters. And look, even when we hit puberty into adolescence and just the claiming of our sexuality makes us feel, I mean, this is why I love the show Big Mouth on Netflix, is because they so hilariously bring in our inner hormone monsters, both the woman and the guy. The woman one's the one that talks. She's like, I'm gonna take a warm bubble bath. Like, it's so funny. I love the way they include monsters. And I think the show, whether they realize it or not, reminds me of, oh, a lot of this shit's going down because of the dualistic perspective of our own inner monsters and the monsters without. A lot of us would think aliens are monsters, and a lot of aliens would think we are monsters, and a lot of other species on our planet Earth think we are monsters. So just the word is funny because it depends on your role and who's saying it. So I think actually the show really picks up on that, as well as conspiracy theory stuff, because the government's what kind of fucked with everything too, opened up a portal and helped create this, like, it's almost like rabies like disease-ish thing, because the government's always fucking around with shit. I mean, there's a whole theory. I'm gonna wait to have, I think I'm gonna have, hopefully I want to have Tim on soon to talk about Lyme disease stuff, because there's a whole conspiracy around Lyme disease that I think checks true, which is the government, there was like a little island off Lyme called Plum Island where they were testing diseases on ticks, and it got out and went to fucking Lyme, Connecticut. So I believe that's the start of Lyme disease, is the government fucking around with diseases. I didn't want to be the one to break that, though. First of all, I have Lyme disease, so it's not like, but whatever. Even if you don't have Lyme disease, you can talk about this conspiracy. But I will get more into that. But there's so much of that shit going on, and Stranger Things kind of shows this is true, guys. The government does fucked up tests. Those of you who think the government wouldn't do that, watch some X-Files, homies. Anyway, I love the whole fucking show and the whole hormone stuff that they deal with. And I think the monsters goes right to that. We feel like monsters because we're such sexual primal beings, and we try to deny it. And you can really see it with Billy in season three. He is, first of all, he's probably too young for me to be calling him hot, but he's hot. And just that character and the way they portray it, it's like, to me, it's like, oh, we still feel like monsters, I think, for being such intense sexual creatures and desiring that. But desire it. That's all good. Desire that. Desire true love. Okay, so this is semi-giving something away in season three, but not really. Nancy is in a workplace situation, and it just shows sexism so clearly and in a very realistic manner, actually. People might not think that that's what workplaces can still be. They can. So I loved that it showed that with Nancy and just the patriarchy. I love that it's hinting on non-duality. And so I think Noah Schnapp and Millie Bobby Brown are twin flames. What's interesting is Millie's character 11 is dating Mike, who is Finn Wolfhard in real life. That's the actor. And what's interesting is, I don't know even if the writers have intended for this, but every time Noah's character Will is around Mike and 11 and they start kissing or whatever, Will starts to feel the monster. If you watch Will's character, and Will's character is kind of saying to everyone, stop caring about girls so much. Let's go back to Dungeons and Dragons like we used to. But I can tell even his character in as Will gets jealous of Mike and 11. And it makes sense, because I think Millie Bobby Brown and Noah, first of all, Noah is such a fucking cutie, and I don't mean that in any gross, weird way. He actually, to me, kind of reminds me of my own son, Shane. You got Noah Schnapp, man. And he, for the premiere, he was, and he was like the best dressed, him and Millie. Oh, and there's just some pictures of the two of them. I can't. They make me, their friendship or whatever, because I do think they're twin flames, but right now friendship, it lights my heart up. It's so beautiful and it's so innocent and just based on real love. You know, it's inspiring to watch how they get along and to remind us that we're all young and innocent inside and we all want that almost simple connection too, where even if sex was taken out of it, you just are silly and you get each other. And that's what their connection reminds me of. But that's not to say they don't have great connections with everyone else in the group. I love that entire friend group. I love watching promo videos for Stranger Things. They're such a good group of kids. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And I was just saying in terms of Stranger Things too. So the main enemy, the Mind Flayer, who in a sense can take different dark forms, he's also the shadow monster. If you really look up at Dungeons and Dragons, it's Mind Flayer, shadow monster, or the brain. And I think the shadow monster part, he's representing our deepest desires and primal instincts that want to come out and our own weird octopus-like, reptile-like places within. We are the universe experiencing itself. We all have reptilian parts as well to our mammal parts. And then in terms of the brain, because you can also call the Mind Flayer the brain, I think it could also represent the patriarchy in a sense. When the brain takes over, logic is great, but it has to be balanced with emotion and heart. And I think that a lot of us, including the whole balancing of the divine feminine and masculine represented by the Sri Yantra and sacred geometry, but when logic and heart are actually more healed and in relationship, oh my God, there's so much more flow and fire and water that can run through. So I think we're all trying to feel that balance. We want to be logical thinking beings. We don't want to just give in to our quote unquote primal instincts. There needs to be a balance. But when logic takes over and we suppress it, then I think you get shit like the Mind Flayer taking over, taking control. Because when we suppress our monster-like things, the monster still comes out. That's why it's all about making art, not war, too. You're allowed to channel your inner monsters, whether it's through rap, painting, dancing, cooking, whatever. Any kind of music, playing an instrument. I'm trying to think of more things. And there's a ton of things. There's tons of ways to channel. And you can channel out dark places. Part of being an artist is you channel some stuff that sometimes makes people go, oh, what the fuck is that? It's okay. We're trying to explore ourselves. And I think art is an incredible way to express yourself. So I will always be a proponent of art. I still got Miss Wolf, the art teacher in me. That's for fucking sure. And she ain't going nowhere. Because I will always support anyone in becoming the true artist they are. The true. But a lot of people fall into comparisons and then they twist their soul song. You know, it's all good. But the more you can be you and be honest to your emotional responses, even if it's anger, even if it's sexuality, whatever, let yourself be who you are. And if you need someone to support you, you can always call Kate Wolf. Well, not call. You can email me. Okay, wolf2fs27@gmail.com. Please get a healing. As of now, they are $100 for an hour session. They may be going up soon. And I offer soul song readings, tarot readings, non-dual Kabbalistic healings, twin flame readings, whatever. Just get a healing. And I have my comedy seance show with Jess Grippo coming up. I will be promoting that, I believe, next week. So, but those of you who want to buy tickets, you can go to New York Comedy Club's website, newyorkcomedyclub.com, promo seance for $10 tickets. Allison Charles cannot be on this one. She had to be out of town. So we will miss her, but the show will go on. The lineup will be announced next week. So I hope to see you at Comedy Seance. Get a Get a healing, kwolf2s27@gmail.com. And if you want to contribute to my Patreon, even though I don't update it, it is so appreciated. So if any of you have some extra money and you want to do that, it's appreciated. I do these podcasts for free. Yeah, and thank you all so much for listening. Happy 4th of July Independence Day. No matter what country you're from, it's never too late to be uncaged and to be free. Namaste. Sending love to you all. Bye.
The war in me has just begun. My truth will always be sung. Over and over we will be won. My enemies, they lie with it. Self-destruct my biggest sin. I won't stop, so it begins, and we march on like minions.
Lordess of the rings. Lordess of the rings. Lordess of the rings. Lordess of the rings.
I'm the hero. 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 The hero.